What's up, guys? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name's Sky.
And I'm Maddie B.
Today, we are celebrating the life of Rush Limbaugh. So let's get toasty. I don't know him super well. I know that I've listened to him a few times, and basically, I mean, he definitely made me rethink about thinking for yourself. Like, he made me realize that just by listening to him the few times I have, the way he speaks, it was like, he doesn't give a crap, and I realized that, and I was like, oh, interesting. Maybe I need to be like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He had his own opinions. He was going to say them no matter what, and, you know, I guess it was kind of like Trump, but not really as much, you know, kind of bombastic, I guess, but not like,
yeah, no, it will,
you know, I mean,
for a radio show on AM talk radio, he was the first one to do it. First of all, he was a pioneer. And I mean, he was very bombastic. He started in like 1988. So, and he's been basically saying the same thing since. Like, he hasn't really changed his tone a lot. He's actually toned down quite a bit since then.
It's interesting.
If you listen to his early stuff, it's like, whoa, like, dang.
Like freaking, yeah, I can't remember his freaking name now. Wow, I just blanked.
No, I just blanked. I
know. Is that exactly weird? You know exactly who I'm talking about. That's crazy, dude. But like, he's like crazy into it. Was he like a conspiracy theory guy really? Or, I mean, like,
to a lesser extent. Yeah. He's more conspiratorial. He's more skeptical, I would say. Not really conspiracy.
Even in 88, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, back then, of course, George H.W. Well, I think Reagan was president when he first went on air in 88, yeah. And then, of course, he went through the Bush years. And then, you know, Bush Sr. And then he went to went through the Clinton years and then helped expose things in the Whitewater scandal and things in the...
Well, really?
Maybe not even expose, but just broaden the public's understanding of those scandals for sure. And...
holy crap,
just,
dude.
Just highly influential. I think he was so influential because he was extremely insightful. And he was almost always right. When he would make predictions, he was almost always right. It's pretty remarkable, really. He'll say the Democrats are going to do this and they're going to do that and they're going to, and the Republicans aren't going to do this and they're not going to do that. And of course, it'll just line up 6 months later. It'll all happen. He'll be like, time to play the replay button. It'll just play his prediction. And then it's just like, wow, he was totally right. Like 100%.
Really? He made a lot of freaking money. He's like literally
$500 million what he was worth.
The difference in him and the next up person, whoever it might be,
not even.
It's an insane jump. Yeah. So what I don't get.
He's the Michael Jordan or.
Sure.
Or
but
Tiger Woods.
In that, you know they're going to make money.
Yeah.
Radio show personalities don't actually normally make a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
Especially in AM.
Yeah. No one did before
what,
that.
AM, what the heck?
AM was literally not even used for anything because FM had come along and music sounded way better. No static at all. You know, Steely Dan. Yeah, there was like nobody used it. Like all it was good for was talking. And then of course, NBC, CBS, and ABC, the alphabet stations, started becoming more and more liberal, like openly liberal. And there was no conservative voice, no conservative outlet at all for news or talk or anything. And so Rush comes in and is like, 3 hours a day, why not? I'll take up your lunch hour and let you know my opinion on the news of the day.
I can't imagine having to fill that time.
Right?
You know, podcasting is different because we are allowed to have dead air, but radio shows, like, you're not really allowed to.
Not
like,
at all.
Like, if you do, they're like, hey, you had 15 seconds
Rush,
of dead air. You can't do that.
He was a master entertainer. I think one of my absolute favorite things he would do, I can't even do it. I'm so pissed. But he would have papers in his hand, and he would just, like, shuffle them. Like,
oh yeah,
you know,
you
just,
always do that though.
Yeah.
Whenever you have papers, you're like Rush Limbaugh. You like
exactly. It's awesome. It's something. It's a little thing that takes up dead air. That's not a or because I think you sound like an idiot when you say or and I do it a lot.
I do it too.
And I'll listen Whatever. To. I'll be listening to the podcast and
like,
see what I can do. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Differently, but saying or I was about to do it and I stopped myself. Saying or is a terrible way to fill dead air.
That's just a public speaking thing, right?
A great way to fill dead air is just shaking your papers or you know, like, I'm looking for and he'll say something, you know, just while he's looking for what he's trying to reference. You know what I mean? And he's a master entertainer, or he was, you know. So, and I've been listening to him literally probably since I was in the womb, because my dad has listened to him since since like the 80s. So
yeah,
definitely like a Rush baby.
I mean, I would say
definitely remember at least since I was 5 years old, because I have memories of him and John Hannity playing in the car.
John Hannity, that's the other guy.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity. I would say Alex Jones might be I don't know if I can say this or not. Because he always throws out predictions and stuff. Modern day Rush Limbaugh, he always throws out predictions, but he goes a little bit more
his predictions
conspiracy
can be,
and right
yeah,
wing
can be
and crazy,
way off
right?
Too.
You're right. You're right about that. I don't know. I mean, a lot of, I don't know.
And Rush makes,
I can't say
a
that.
Lot more predictions than Alex Jones does.
Really?
Too. Yeah, for sure. He's on there 3
okay.
hours a day every day.
So his last show was February 2nd, apparently.
The last one he did?
The last one Rush did, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And what did he have? Did he have cancer?
Yeah, he had stage 4 lung cancer.
It was a train, guys, this time. Sorry. Just wanted to say.
yeah, he had stage 4. He was diagnosed in October of 2019.
While the train's going on, guys, let me go ahead and throw the ad out there, because, you know, who needs an ad anyway, right? Blackland Distillery, they have the most bestest vodka. You're going to love it. They also have rye whiskey. They also have all the other stuff you can imagine as far as liqueurs and liquors go. Head on over to blacklanddistillery.com or blackland.com. Not sure which one. I can't remember. And check it out.
Yeah. Delicious.
Train's still going. I use blueberry hosting for my podcast. You guys check that out too. Best hosting service ever.
Probably.
Back to Rush's life. So he February 2nd was the last episode.
Uh-huh.
But what I don't understand, oh yeah, what kind of cancer he has?
Stage 4 lung cancer.
When did he find out though?
October of 2019.
Oh, because everyone was okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I guess it seemed like one of those things where everyone was, maybe it was just such a big deal. It was such a big deal, right? It was a huge deal that he passed away.
Uh-huh.
But I guess no one knew maybe because he was always on the show anyway. Like he was still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
He was still recording.
Yeah, for sure.
So
it says, okay, so I'm on his website, rushlimbaugh.com, and there's a huge quote at the top, like in the middle of the About Me page. It says, I won't stop until everyone agrees with me.
Oh.
And that's pretty much true. I mean, he was literally going through chemo, and days he wasn't going through treatment, he was on air.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
Fighting the freaking good fight, dude. And that's what I'm talking about. I love
every
that.
Day,
I
until,
love that,
until
dude.
2 weeks before he died or something like that. He has so many accomplishments.
I mean, he had like 15 million listeners like per show, pretty much.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's what they were saying. I
was
like,
it was up to I think 50 million people a week. 50 million people a week would tune in.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's crazy, dude.
Like cumulative, yeah, pretty intense. It's a lot of people. Yeah. So, yeah, he was inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame in 1993. That long ago.
Yep. He just kept doing it.
Yeah. National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 98. Hall of Famous Missourians in 2012 at the state capitol in Jefferson City. And then he had his own TV show from 92 to 96.
Yeah, then he was like, this is dumb, what am I doing? So, I wonder how he, like, really got into it. Like, I mean, did he pay for a segment? I wonder what, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, did he won the radio, like?
No, he was a disc jockey starting at 16. And, that's it.
That's how he got on, okay.
He couldn't resist the urge of broadcasting. He did, what is it? He did, sports radio. Yeah, for the Kansas City Royals, he was director of group sales and later director of sales and special events. But he couldn't resist the urge to return to broadcasting. In 1983, he re-entered radio as a political commentator for KMBZ in Kansas City. A year later, Rush hosted a daytime talk show in Sacramento, tripling the program's ratings in 4 years. From there, in 1988, he went on to New York, where the record-breaking national show was born. That's how it began. He received a personal letter from President Ronald Reagan thanking him for his... thanking him and naming him the, quote, number one voice for conservatism in our country. From the president. From a super conservative president.
Well, then Donald Trump gave him some award, too.
Some award? He gave him the
Presidential Medal of Freedom. Oh, I didn't know the award.
That's the highest.
There's a lot of awards presidents give,
But that's the highest civilian honor you can get.
Really?
Yeah.
Even, like, in military and everything, or is it separate from military? Civilian. Any civilian can get the highest. That's the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
It's equivalent to Medal of Honor for military.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Holy guacamole, dude. Yeah. Look at that medal, dude. That's sick.
Uh-huh.
It's like some freaking eagles surrounding this star with all... Dude, that's sweet, dude.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I'll put a link to it on the show notes for the Toasty fans.
Forbes magazine's 50 most powerful celebrities in the United States. Numerous years. Number 19 in 2010.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, everyone talks about our generation right now, talks about Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
But, and he's influential.
Uh-huh.
But he's influential in a way different way. Like, yeah. He's just influential because he has people on that are freaking famous all the time. And I'm not saying Rush didn't. I'm just saying Rush was influential because he had an opinion and he was going to share the opinion.
Yeah.
Right? That's different. They're different broadcasting.
His opinion reflected the opinion of millions of people that didn't have a voice or didn't have anyone in the public sphere at all.
They didn't want to say something, you know?
To agree with. Yeah, exactly. So they were kind of like closet Republicans or closet conservatives. And Rush kind of brought it more out into the open for sure. Because for a lot of people, Barry Goldwater gave conservatism kind of a bad taste in people's mouth. He was a good conservative, but not a very good politician. Barry Goldwater ran for president in 1964, right after JFK was assassinated, right? So no way in hell he's going to get elected, right?
Mm-hmm.
LBJ was like basically a shoo-in and of course won the landslide. But he was a staunch conservative from New Mexico and no, Arizona. And almost a libertarian.
And, heck yeah.
Yeah. He would have been an awesome president, but
yeah.
Of course, went nowhere, and that was it. That was like basically the end of Barry Goldwater. So, but that is to say, like, it put a lot of people down on conservatism, and Nixon was not very conservative. You know, he took us off the gold standard. He opened relations with China, so he did a lot of kind of globalist and worldview things. A nationalist.
The gold standard. Yeah. That sucks, man.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then you had Reagan, who is a true conservative. Up until kind of late into his second term, he kind of got a lot more mellow and moderate, in my opinion, as a president, at least. And then we didn't really have another true conservative until Trump came into office. And that whole time...
Whoa, really? That's what you'd say right now?
For sure.
Oh, dang. Okay.
And I feel like during that whole time, Rush was really the first and only voice to come out in mainstream media, as it were, you know, for talk radio being mainstream media, or let's just say a broadly accessible media.
He was on, dude, I wouldn't say he was just on talk radio. He was obviously a talk radio show,
but he
was on freaking AM, FM, TV. He was on everything, dude. He was like, if you wanted to find Rush Limbaugh, you could go to Google, and you could find one of his freaking broadcasts.
Not in the 90s, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, in the 90s, no, you could.
In the 80s.
Leave it right now.
Yeah, now he was everywhere, but back then it was just talk radio.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And his TV show at a certain point. But really, you know, he was a pioneer. Nobody else was doing that kind of thing. Fox News didn't exist until, what, 99?
Right. That's probably what made it so accessible for him, because no one was really doing it. So it was probably pretty cheap, or if he got invited, maybe he got invited, I don't know, to be on air that nothing was broadcast in, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I was to go to an FM station right now and say, hey, I want to put my show on air, we're going to call it, you know, Toasty Podcast, or we're going to call it The Real Sky Day Show, whatever the heck you want to call it. they're going to tell me it costs $3,000 an hour, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm not doing that. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's so overpopulated now.
Yeah, it's oversaturated. But he basically, because talk radio basically wasn't a thing. There was old-time radio, which, you know, is basically like shows on the radio. Like, people read War of the Worlds and stuff like that. And then that kind of faded once music became easily transmissible over the radio. And then FM came along, and talk radio was not a thing at all until Rush made it a thing. So he basically created a new media, if that makes sense. And if it wasn't for people like him basically talking into a microphone
mm-hmm.
about subjects,
right,
we wouldn't be podcasting right here.
Right, we wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Because him and whoever else had pioneered podcast, John DeMoss didn't pioneer it. Dude, who was it? Joe Rogan talks about him all the time. Whatever. Anyway, the guy that was like, we need a podcast, and psh, made it, you know?
Yeah.
No ads, nothing. Green. Do whatever you want. Tom Green. Thank you.
Is that really who you're talking about?
No, it's not.
But Tom Green
Tom Green is one of the guys,
he's
though.
Definitely one of the pioneers of podcasting. Yeah, he's definitely one of the pioneers. Sure.
I don't know if that's the guy I'm talking about. I can never remember all the names, dude. I'm like,
there's a lot
names.
Of people out there.
Well, you're the guy, dude. You memorize everything.
What's, gosh, I'm still trying to think of,
Alex Jones?
No, that other guy, the first guy that we were both thinking of.
Alex Jones.
No,
that's who I was thinking of.
That's who you were thinking of?
Oh, yeah, because you were like, I was like, we're talking about conspiracy theories and all that crap, and I was like, yeah, like Alex Jones.
I'm thinking of who else is the pioneer shock jock. He's the first one. Howard Stern. Yeah.
Okay, because there's Sean Hannity.
Well, Howard Stern is
Howard
like,
Stern and...
Howard Stern is not a conservative at all. He's a
no,
he's
I know,
like
but there's like literally those names. There's like three names in the industry that everyone knows, and they're just big.
Mark Levin would be the third conservative.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
I wasn't thinking politically. I was just thinking the names you always hear. You hear Howard Stern. You hear Sean Hannity. You hear Rush Limbaugh.
Huh.
Like, I hear those. Like, you know, if you're on a radio,
yeah,
you might hear those names.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know about the other dude, Mark, whatever.
Mark Levin.
Yeah.
He's the same. He's been on radio for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Radio is an interesting world because, like I said earlier, it's way different, you know, and it's something that you have to really practice at.
Exactly.
To be good at it. You do. You've got to, man. And I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't know that if I didn't get behind a microphone and do podcasts. Luckily for us, podcasting is way more forgiving.
Yes, exactly.
It's not live.
There's no, like, learning.
You don't have to be
There's
live.
There's no real, like, learning curve. You just kind of talking to the microphone. Well,
yeah, there is, but you can learn at your own pace.
Yeah,
it's not true. A class.
It's
nothing.
It's not a sink or swim.
Years
situation.
Go. Correct. Yeah, it can be free. You know, if you really want to make it, but it'd be, you know, crappy anyway. But whatever, it can be free if you really just want to do it. So that makes it more accessible for everyone else that can't do it. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
Shane was telling me about how he had to learn and like be a radio show broadcaster or whatever in New Orleans, and he was on a bigger radio show. You know, that got like a good amount of listeners, you know, autographs or whatever he did and stuff like that. So, but he said every like Friday or something like that, it was like a day of the week that he knew, right? It was like the checkup Friday or whatever the heck. His boss would be like, let's listen to your show, and boom, play it and be like, listening with him and be like, pause there. You can't do that. And then he'd be like, keep going, dead air. Bad, you know, he just like literally, and it was always the
he'd
whole thing of
show.
Oh, he'd critique it like crazy, and he's Ooh. Like, wow, but that's how he like got really good at it, you know, and
yeah,
and now when you talk to Shane, like after he told me he was in radio, I instantly was like, oh crap, yeah, you're right, that makes total sense, because
yeah.
when you talk to Shane, he's really really good at explaining his side, and like that's it.
Huh.
And he won't say more than he has to.
Yeah, he's very
like,
succinct.
Yeah, he's just like,
language.
Here's what I'm going to say, and then I'm done. And then he'll let you do say whatever, and then he'll respond. Like, and after I learned that, I was like, oh, yeah, you definitely are.
And you gotta work with commercial breaks. Like, Rush was really good at, like, knowing exactly how much time he had. And,
right.
And
I'm sure after doing it for literally
30-plus years,
decades,
sure. yeah.
you're like... You get used to 15-minute segments, you know, and you're like, okay, here we go. And you know when 15 minutes is going to come. Like, even us, like, we're doing the podcast. I kind of have a feeling when I'm hitting an hour, and I'm mm-hmm. like, man, we need to slow this thing down and get out of here. And then I'll look at the time and be like, oh, we're 48 minutes in, you know. I'm definitely never spot on.
Yeah.
But after, dude, after doing it for 30 years, I'm sure you can get like good at clockwork, yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
That's something we don't have to do either with podcasts. I don't have to worry about ads and all that. So it's a totally different world. It is where we're going though.
Yeah.
We're going to podcasts is it. Like I've been I thought we got into this whole thing. And it was already saturated, there's a lot of podcasts. Don't get me wrong, there's tons.
There's always gonna be
a lot. There's always gonna be a lot. But now, even now, a year and a half later, tons more people are jumping in, dude. I'm like, holy crap, yeah. Everyone's doing a freaking podcast, dude.
It's crazy.
And I'm like,
if you're a celebrity, you have your own podcast.
Exactly. Point. Exactly. Oh crap.
It's almost like a status symbol.
Dude, it's crazy like, right
you
now.
Don't need, yeah.
It's insane. It is insane. Did Rush have a podcast?
Not really. I mean, he put his episodes out on his website.
On his website? Yeah. That was his podcast?
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's honestly better anyway because he has his own website, you know? He probably has his own servers and everything too.
For sure.
So he can stay away from the...
Oh, he is. He was like incredibly tech savvy. I don't know if you know. He's very, very tech savvy.
He was?
Love technology. Always had the latest iPhone watch and all that.
I believe it, you know? To be... To stay out of the mind of the government, you got to be tech savvy.
Oh, yeah.
These days.
Yeah.
Big tech and all that. The next guest we're going to have on is going to be, well, hopefully I can get her on. I don't know. We'll see. She's writing a book called Impact, and it's about media bias, and she was a part of Project Veritas and some other things.
Oh, wow.
And she was something with Facebook. She did some security something with Facebook. So she's pretty well known in there. She lives in DFW. So... I found her, contacted her. Her agent contacted me and said, I'll sync you guys up. I CC'd her in the email. So I'm just waiting on the response, dude.
That'd be sweet.
That'd be sweet.
Oh, yeah. That's the one you showed me? The What's it?
Is that it? Oh, I screenshotted the email.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, I screenshotted the email and sent it to you, dude. I'm stoked.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's super exciting. We're having some good guests on.
It's well because I have time to look for them. See, when we had a schedule, now we have an actual schedule. You know, guys, just so you know, we have a schedule. I didn't know if you knew that or not, but whoever's listening right now, we do. The first week of the month is guest week. Every first week of the month. So, when you want a guest, first week of the month. The second and fourth week of the month are going to be our normal episodes, like this one you're hearing now, uh-huh. Where we talk about whatever we want to talk about. Me and Matt, like men. The third week. is always deep dive. And what that means is Matt and I go ham on some research.
We get the notebooks out.
For you guys. We get the notebooks out. We get the papers out. We start shuffling papers. I don't. I still use my iPad, but whatever. So that we can figure some stuff out. Our next deep dive, you know, you never know what it's going to be, really. But it could be cost of cancer. It could be child support. It could be whatever. But when it's a controversial topic, we want to really, really hit.
Landing on Mars, we do it. Bro.
Could be landing on Mars.
Yeah, we just did that.
One of our biggest episodes, I think, for Deep Dive, in my opinion, was the abortion episode because we got to state what we think about it. And that was the first time on the podcast that I have told you guys really how I feel, period, right from my heart. So that was probably the best episode. Go back and check that out if you want to.
Yeah, it's a really good episode for sure.
Super good episode. Sorry I had to explain all that. I just wanted you guys to know where we're going with the podcast and how we're doing it now. So keep listening. Keep watching. We love it.
And most importantly, stay toasty.
Toasty.